to help us to see through the deception that exists around us, between the true and the false, and that we would listen to the truth, follow those who are seeking to share your word, instead of those who are in it for themselves and are really following Satan. So I ask that you would bless our time now together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled my message this morning, Telling the Difference. Telling the Difference. You know, our world is awash in fakes and pretenders, and it's often hard to tell the difference. I've found this to be true as a parent. How many of you have been shopping for your kids at Christmas or a birthday, and you're trying to get Frozen, you found something like this? It's just not quite right. It's Frozen Fever. Did you get that? I mean, you don't notice it right away. And then the figurines are not quite right. Now, those are the ones that are hard to tell. The ones like this, they're a little easier. I mean, what is that? Those are some freaky eyes on Elsa. Buzz Lightyear here, it looks like he kind of got slapped upside the head and his eyeballs are conky. I don't know what's going on with Lightning McQueen, but that's pretty easy to tell that they're fakes. I mean, they're people trying to make money off of, you know, the real things. And notice it's Happy Car. You know, there's all these little things that some are close and some are just like, what? And these are some of my favorites. So I don't know what this. I think this was supposed to be trying to be Star Wars, but I don't think they were really that familiar with the whole franchise, because what's a Buzz Lightyear in a Star Wars set? Totally different genre. I mean, I know Disney owns them now. Maybe that was the connection, but and he's the only one that has a lightsaber, which, you know, if you know anything about Star Wars. And Darth Maul here, they gave him robot legs. Maybe that was, they knew what was coming. But C-3PO here, that's a version of C-3PO I've never seen. It's just, maybe it would be cooler if they did make him like that, but it totally ruins the whole persona. You know, there's fakes all over the place, right? When it comes to toys and clothes and DVDs, I mean, those are just the things we expect. We've learned to kind of watch out for them, and once in a while we get duped. We buy the cheap knockoff, and we're like, "Oh man, you know, we spent some money on it, and we thought it was a great deal, and it turned out to be a fake." And this passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning in 2 Corinthians 11:5-15 will help us to spot the difference between the true and the fakes. But in a far more important area, it is those between the true and the false teachers. And that is something we need to pay attention to as well, to learn to tell the difference. A week ago, we saw from our study of 2 Corinthians 11:1-4, and Paul's asking the Corinthians to put up with his foolish talking in responding to the false teachers. We learned how we should put up with foolish talking of preaching and teaching as well, for the reisons that he outlined, helps us to seek our purity. This is a positive purpose, that we would be holy like God. That is a biblical preaching and teaching. That is one of the goals of it. Also, a negative purpose is to stop corruption in our lives, to keep us from being influenced and deceived like Eve was by Satan, and staying committed to the simple truths about Christ and what He calls us to do. And then lastly, to see through deception is this being aware, this neutral purpose of saying, I see this, I see that, I'm going to do what's right. That when someone comes and preaches another Jesus, there's a different spirit, there's a different gospel, that we would recognize them for what they are. Now, if Paul turns to his defense of his ministry, in which he contrasts his character with that of the false teachers at Corinth, from which we can learn about telling the difference between true and false teachers by seeing the three contrasts that we find in this passage between them in verses 5 through 15. You know, Paul has been pushed to defend himself, but he sees it as a foolish defense. Unlike the false teachers who, that was their way of life. I mean, they were serious about this. And Paul is saying, this is, I wish I didn't have to do this. And by their character and his response, they're showing themselves for the pretenders they are. They were trying to steal the allegiance of the church at Corinth. And Paul has to write this letter to help them see the difference. So what are these contrasts? The first contrast we see between polished speakers and knowledge sharers, verses 5 and 6. Paul says, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent or super apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things." Paul here is explaining how he is not inferior to these super apostles. And I don't think he means the 12 apostles, you know, those that walked and talked with Jesus. I think he is referring in the context that makes it clear that he's talking about these false apostles. Those that would be pretenders. They're trying to pass themselves off as the real deal. And they aren't. So when he makes the statement, "I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles," that is a sarcastic statement. What he's really saying is, they're really nothing and I'm the real deal here. Don't you see that? And even though he goes on to say that he is untrained in speech, and what he means by that is the ornamental rhetoric or rhetoric that these false teachers were using. You know, this flowery speech that they pass themselves off as, "We know lots." You ever encounter people like that? They talk a good talk. You know, they have all these big, worse-sounding words. But if you really stop and think about what they're actually saying, they're really not. That was the kind of talk that was common in Corinth. Remember the background there? I mean, it was a place of the Isthmus Games and others. I mean, they had money to throw around, and often there were people who come to town that would give a good speech and people would pay them for it. And these false apostles of OC seem to have taken advantage of that and are utilizing the patronage system where they are living off the generosity of some of these benefactors. And they're saying, "We're the real deal. Paul, I mean, he's rough talk." Now, why was Paul using common language? What did he tell us back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2? He said that he came to them, he didn't want to use the wisdom, man's wisdom. And he didn't want to use, you know, these words that were all big and sounding. He says, "Brethren, when I came to you, I did not come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive word of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." See, Paul was being intentional in not using that kind of language because he didn't want people to look to him and say, "Oh, you know, he's such a great preacher," and follow him because of his skill in oratory. But instead, he wanted them to follow him because of the ideas that he was communicating that were really God's ideas. It was the power of the gospel, the power to transform lives. It was the truth that he wanted them to know. This is why he came in untrained speech. Because I would submit to you, Paul, I mean, he was raised under Gamaliel. He studied under him. You know, the most foremost rabbi in Jewish thinking of the day. And this passage bears out, he uses rhetoric, he uses sarcasm, he uses hyperbole. I mean, he uses a lot of the mechanisms and the devices of good rhetoric. He just doesn't rely on them. I mean, it's kind of a backhanded way of saying, "Yeah, I can do it, but I'm not going to. I mean, I'm forced into it because I really want you to depend on God, not on me." It's so easy in life to follow a man, follow someone with flourish and skill in words rather than following the truth. And that is what Paul is attempting to do. He wants to share true knowledge. And where does this knowledge come from? He says, he's not untrained in knowledge. It's knowledge from God. He talks about this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, how God has revealed knowledge to him. And as Christians, we should be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, our Savior. This is the job, the role of Christians, that we would keep growing to know Christ, to know His Word, and to know what He expects of us. We need to add to our faith what? Knowledge. We need to keep growing in this. As 2 Peter 1, 5, really 3 through 5 talks about. It is the expectation of all believers. He says, the knowledge is there, and he wants to share this. And he says, but we have thoroughly manifested among you in all things. He says, you know me. You know that I shared this with you. In fact, he's later going to talk about, you know, how he even has shown them all the signs of the apostles, chapter 12, verse 12. And that this is all shared with them. He has been open and honest with them in everything. And they should have seen it for what it is. Polished speakers versus knowledge sharers. Which one will you follow? You know, some books have a slick cover, but really are fluff and dangerous. And other books, they don't really look like that much, but you read them and it's just, wow, this is really good stuff. Anybody recognize that guy? Right? Slick cover, right? Number one, New York Times bestseller, revised and expanded, 7 steps to living at your full potential. Sounds good, right? But that's full of falsehood. He's a prosperity gospel preacher. This book, first edition of A.W. Tozer. You know who A.W. Tozer is? Right? Godly man. In some ways, saw himself as a prophet of God. I mean, not in the sense of supernaturally knowledge. He's just explaining God's Word and calling people to repentance and obedience. This book, I have a newer copy of it, but still doesn't look like much. Simple little book. You know, still over 100 pages. This is deep stuff. I mean, you can't. I mean, even though it's 120 pages, to sit down and read this, you'd be like choking on a huge chunk of meat or trying to drink out of a fire hose, because each chapter is expounding one of the attributes of God. It's just chock full of truth. You know, there are many books out there. There's another one, The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. It looks shiny, attractive. Anyone know who Richard Dawkins is? He's an atheist. He's out there trying to get people to not believe in God. We need to listen to the truth. We need to see through those that really want to share the truth. And incidentally, you know, this book, really thick. This book, really thin. This one has far more truth in it than this one. There's that, give you the reality of Joel Osteen. How to get rich lying to Christians. 7 steps to duping Christians by preaching a false gospel. That's really what's going on. And we need to see through the slickness, see through the fluff, and see it for what it is. Do you see the difference between polished speakers and knowledge sharers? Can you tell when someone is just presenting fluff or even a dangerous teaching in a slick package? Those prosperity gospels, a Rob Bell, or he sounded good. I had friends in college that listened to some of his stuff, watched some of his stuff. Great storyteller. He ends up promoting open theism, that God doesn't know the future and is just responding to it as it happens. Go back in history. Hitler, the crowds that he attracted. He was a charismatic, and we would say preacher. And he drew people went to his rallies as skeptics and came away as fanatics. That was the power of his words. There's others today that sway young minds. Bill Nye, the science guy. And, many students going off to college and university and being caught up in a professor's witty teaching. And, an engaging personality, being swayed to their ideas. The political world, those people that say what you want to hear. Now, they go and do what they want to do, but they tell you what you want to hear in order to get elected. Do we see through that? Do you recognize that sharing knowledge is more important than polish? It's better to spend time with a gruff old man who will teach you life lessons than sit in front of a TV and be entertained all day. Or spend all your day on social media. Yes, you're entertained, but you're not really learning from those that want, that care about you. I mean, it's the difference between spending a pastor who cares and a pastor who has an image to protect and an empire to build. Unfortunately, those exist today. One of my favorite quotes from Lord of the Rings is from Sam Gamgee. And he is Strider, Aragorn, one of the main characters, is asking him why he didn't think he was a servant of the enemy when he met him, because he was he was a pretty rough character when he first met him. And he says this, "I think a servant of the enemy would look fairer and feel fouler." Right? There's this a different sense to it. And we need to recognize the difference. The one that may not seem the one that knows the most or one that really cares about us at first. But you spend time with them, you realize there's a heart of gold there. Versus the one that, they're engaging, charismatic, but you're just the next, the step on the way. And they don't really care. Are you following the polished speakers or the knowledge sharers? It's the first contrast. Second contrast, the pay seekers versus the truth tellers in verses 7 through 11. "Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you of free charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was burdened to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you, and so will keep myself. As the truth is in Christ, is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows." Paul here is explaining how he didn't do wrong in humbling himself to work as a tent maker in Corinth. And that's what he's referring to. How he went, we find this from the book of Acts 18:3, how when he went to Corinth, he doesn't depend on the church. He doesn't depend on the new believers. Instead, he goes to work. Now, he was trained as a rabbi, and every rabbi was trained to work in a trade to support himself. And his trade was tent making. And so he went back to that. And he found some friends, Priscilla and Aquila, who were also tent makers, and he worked alongside them. Why? There was lots of money in Corinth. He could have very easily ingratiated himself, gotten some gifts, and had a lot of freedom then. But it would have come with a price tag. Because the way it worked in that day, the patron system, was, yes, they would give you money. They would help support people would teach and preach. But it always came with this expectation that you were always to be grateful and to never say anything bad about them, and that you would promote them to others. Now, Paul recognized that as a preacher of the gospel, that would undermine his message. It would hamper his ability to freely share the gospel and to speak truth, even when it was those who had the money. And he knew that he couldn't do that. And so he went to work for himself, pay for his own needs, even though it meant he was poor at times. It didn't have some of maybe even the basic necessities. And the Corinthians, especially the false apostles, used that as occasion to look down on him, because to those of the upper classes, they didn't like those who worked with their hands. They looked down on them and said that was I mean, that showed that you really hadn't gained worth in the world if you had to still work with your hands. I mean, those whose ideas were powerful and were making a difference in the world didn't really have to work with their hands. They were getting paid for their ideas. And so the fact that Paul is not getting paid for it, that gets associated with the fact that maybe his ideas aren't worth much, especially in those elite circles. Now, that's not a new concept or old. It's not an old concept. It's been around. It's still here today. There are many, you watch the elites today in our country, and they make fun of Christians. It's that opiate for the masses. It's that just crutch that they need. They don't really see it for what it is. Yeah, Paul wanted that freedom to do that. He wasn't above taking money, gifts, and support. He showed that. He says, I robbed other churches. We know from Philippians 4, 15 and 18 that he accepted gifts from Macedonian churches, Philippi, poor churches even. Maybe that's why he uses the robbed. It's kind of a hyperbole. But he's saying, they couldn't afford to do it, and yet they did it, and I took it. But I wouldn't take it from you. I love them to minister to me, because it is the right of those who preach the gospel to live by it. He's already explained this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, how he and Barnabas had the right to do this, but they made the choice because of the setting and the situation and the wrong message it would convey to not take the support from the Corinthians. He says, Peter and the rest, they bring their wives, they're supported. That's not a problem, right? But I willingly did this because I didn't want to send the wrong message. He says, when I'm present with you, even when I was in need, I was a burden to no one. He didn't want to be a burden to anyone. Yes, he took gifts from, probably it was Timothy and Silas who brought the gift in Acts 18:5 when they finally do show up in Corinth, bringing gifts from Philippi and others. But he says, and in everything I kept myself from being a burdensome to you, so I keep myself. Because he wants to avoid the strings that come attached with those gifts. He goes on to say, verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me. Basically saying, I'm telling you the truth here. He's used that expression before, Romans 9:1, 2 Timothy 2:7. Even here in Corinthians 1:23 and 11:31. He's going to say, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. I'm telling you the truth. No one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Now, Achaia is where Corinth is located. It's the region, the province in the Roman Empire. Macedonia is to the north. He's saying, not just in Corinth, but the people around here will not be able to keep me from telling you this truth. That I haven't depended on you, but that others have supplied. God has supplied. He goes on, and Philippians 4, I've learned to do little with little and much. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he goes on to tell, great, thanks for sending. I mean, I could have done without it. God would have supplied my need, but God wanted to use you. We want to give you fruit. And what a blessing it is to support missionaries and be a part of that work. But we need to do it willingly with no strings attached. And what it is, it's a sweet aroma to God. And God supplies their need. As Paul says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not out of, but according to. God is rich and He loves to bless His children. Now we can't manipulate it like the way the prosperity gospel preachers say. But God is a good God who gives good gifts and He is generous to His children. And He meets our needs and we can trust Him. Now, the false apostles, they were doing this, they wanted to be paid. In fact, maybe that was why they were so opposed to Paul is because Paul is making them look bad when they ask for money. So they want him to start getting paid too. That's why they're putting pressure on him. But they do it out of self-seeking. What does Paul say he does it as? Why? Because I don't love you? That was part of the charge, maybe. Now, he doesn't really love you. He doesn't want to, he just wants to depend on himself. No, he says, God knows. And what a truth that is, that God knows our hearts. He knows all things, as 1 John 5:20 says, or 3:20 says. He can see into our hearts and know our hearts. And Paul is saying, I'm telling you the truth. God knows. Everybody in Acacia knows. You should know it too. That I'm telling you the truth. Those are the kind of people we should listen to. Not the pay seekers, but the truth tellers. Scams are all around us, right? How many of you had the Social Security scam call recently? Right? Your Social Security number has been compromised. You need to contact us immediately. We're going to shut down your Social Security. Sound familiar? I looked it up just to make sure. No, they'll never call you. That's not the way the Social Security works. What are they really after? They want your information and they want your money. They want to take advantage of you. The people who don't want to take advantage of you often give it to you for free. And not a free gift with, like the free gift we got. We had to go listen to this. It was a cooking pots and pans. I forget what it was. Royal Prestige, that's what it was. Royal Prestige. We went and listened to their spiel, and they tried really hard. Yeah, we'll give you free vouchers for this hotel. And then there's all these hoops you have to jump through and all the pressure they put on you to buy that day. That's not what we're talking about. One of the sites I like is gotquestions.org. How many of you have heard of gotquestions.org? Right? It's linked on our website. Just give you straight Bible answers to questions that people have. Whether it's a biblical question or a question about life or whatever it is. In fact, in your bulletin today, I put one of them. What does it mean that Satan masquerades as an angel of light? They don't charge a thing for all of that. I mean, there are thousands of questions have been answered. And they'll give you sources to go to study more. And what does Scripture say about that? And they've even translated, they're even putting this into different languages. And it is all done because people have given to them freely. And they can offer this for free. I'm so thankful for places like that. Because they want to tell us the truth. It is so important that they're willing to get it out there for free. They're taking the burden on themselves to pay for it. So that everybody can know this. That's the kind of difference. Do you see the difference between pay seekers and truth tellers? Can you tell if someone is truly humble or just saying what you want to hear to get your money? There's so many of those in life. Are they willing to serve wherever needed or demand that they serve them? That's often a good marker, right? Jesus said in Mark 10, He said that, that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them and their great ones exercise authority over them. They boss people around and they use it to their advantage. Yet shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. You see the example of Christ. The sovereign Lord of the universe who left the glories of heaven to become human. He humbled Himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not just a human, became willing to die as a human and die a criminal's death. That's love. That is humbling yourself. And that's what should characterize those whom we are following is humility. Do they expect a payment for services rendered or freely share the truth with anyone who will listen? It amazes me sometimes when, starting Bible studies with people or doing Bible studies and they're like, you would take time out of your schedule to do this? And like, yeah, that's what pastors should do. I mean, you know, we should want people to know the Word of God. I think that's coming from their encountering others, false preachers, who expect, I mean, you come visit, you send them a check because you spent time with them. Or, you know, you did anything for them. There's a price tag that comes with that. You don't have to use anything for free. There's always an expectation. Are they motivated by love or greed? Like Peter says in part of the qualifications for pastors in 1 Peter 5, so that they should shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples of the flock. Shouldn't be in it for the money. Should be. Because they want to share the truth. They have a burden to preach the Word of God and teach the truth. I mean, I tell people like this is, I mean, you let me sit down and explain God's Word to you. That's like giving me candy. Because like this is bread and butter for a pastor. So it should be. And yet, there are many that are not. And it tells the real heart. Do they seek your best or their best? Are you following pay seekers or truth tellers? A second contrast, third contrast is this. The position stealers versus the real servants. In verses 12 through 15. But what I do, I also continue to do that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire the opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. What is Paul saying here? He is explaining how he would continue to do what he was doing to keep those who wanted to steal his position of respect by boasting, as we'll see, that they are false apostles. This idea of cutting off opportunity, it's the idea of cutting off a branch. We would say it today, like pulling the rug out from under someone. So like they have no standing now. They have no ability to really do what they want to do, which is steal respect. They want to look good in the eyes of those that they're around. They don't want to really earn it. They just want to look good. Right? Because they want to be regarded just as we are in the things we do. Now, Paul, did he deserve respect because of what he has done? Yes. I mean, we'll see some of what he went through in the coming weeks. I mean, he endured some hard stuff. You saw that he did it out of true love, and he didn't want to be paid. You know, he refused payment even. Because he wanted to be so careful. Even though he could have. He had the right to. But these people, they wanted that respect without any of the hard work. Sounds like a lot of people today, right? They want to steal the respect. He goes on to say, for such are false apostles. He doesn't pull any punches here. He just lays it right out. These are false apostles. Deceitful workers. He's piling it on. They're pretending to work when they really aren't working. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They're claiming all the rights and privileges of being apostles of Christ without enduring the persecution, without spending the time with Jesus, without having seen Him. Those are the signs of the apostles, is Acts chapter 1, 20 and 21, or 21 and 22, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 7 and 8. When they went to elect a new apostle, they had to consider that. These guys weren't doing it. They were just pulling the wool over people's eyes. They were pretenders, disguise, the word there, transforming themselves, putting on a disguise. Why? And no wonder, verse 14, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. The father of lies, the one whom they are really following, he does this all the time. He's been doing this ever since the Garden of Eden. What did he do there? Did he come in as the devil to Eve? No. Who did he change into? A serpent. Now, incidentally, it doesn't tell us that it's the devil in Genesis 3. We always assume that, but it always calls him the serpent. But you get to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and it tells us that that was Satan, that serpent of old, the devil, You know, it just piles on and tells us clearly who we're talking about here. Who's the real problem? And Jesus, when talking to the scribes and Pharisees, says, the reason you're like this is because you're like your father, the devil, the father of lies, who was a murderer from the beginning. No surprise when they murdered him. They told lies all the time because they were like their father, the liar. But he goes around pretending to be our friend. What did he say to Eve? You know, he pretends to be on her side. That God is actually keeping something from her. I'm here to help you. And if you do this, you'll have pleasure. You'll be like God. See these lies? The lies just keep coming. And he continues to tell them today. So what does Paul say in the end? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. They pretend to be like God. Romans 10:10 says they, or 10:3, that they seek their own righteousness. Not, they don't have the righteousness of Christ, but they seek to establish their own righteousness, the righteousness from the law, by being good and moral and upright. Pretenders, though, because the heart really isn't there. Instead, Paul, evaluating that kind of thinking in Philippians 3:6-9, says, I don't want anything to do with that. I consider that like rubbish. Instead, I want to know God, and I want to know Christ in the power of the resurrection, and I want His righteousness. That's the only righteousness that can help us. Because Romans 3 tells us that by our own righteousness, we can't be justified. We can't be made right. We're all sinners who have fallen short of God's glory. But God has made Jesus to be righteousness for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might have the righteousness of Christ in Him. That's how we get true righteousness. Not this pretending. So many passages in Scripture where people, you know, followers of Satan or false teachers are depending, are pretending. Like Galatians 2:4, Philippians 1:15, and other passages. We need to be on guard against them. In the end, what does it tell us? How do we know? Their end will be according to their works. Philippians 3:19 tells us, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. In the end, it will show them for what they are. And God will judge them on that day. Romans 2. Verse 6. He will render to each one according to his deeds. Those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey righteousness, indignation, and wrath. That's what God will give them. He will judge them for what they really are. And we need to see it for what it really is. Matthew 7, another passage where Jesus talks about the false teachers, and he says that they are like, you need to beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And he goes on to tell you, you need to know them by their fruits, and now their good tree bears good fruit, and bad tree bears bad fruit. And these people will come to him on the day and say, Lord, Lord, we did all these great things in your name. And he says, what? I never knew you. Depart from you, you who practice lawlessness. Paul in Acts chapter 20 says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember, for 3 years they did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He goes on to talk about his example and how he didn't covet anybody's silver or gold or clothes. Now he provided for himself. He has shown you in every way that, you know, his labor and how he was generous with the poor. And then he quotes from Christ. He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Here you have the godly example of Paul in contrast to that of the position stealers, the false apostles. They wanted the position without really working for it. Paul had really done it. He was the real servant of God, and he showed it. How many of you have been in traffic before, and the merge sign is coming up? Maybe it's construction, maybe it's toll booths, and people start getting over, right? But there's always those few, right, that they should run all the way up and then try to butt their way in. They just want to steal your position. But then maybe you've been on the other side of that where you didn't realize that all of a sudden it's there and you're really thankful for that person who let you in, who really helped you out in that moment when you really needed to get over. Now, everybody looks askance and maybe even honks their horn or says some favorite words at that person who butts in. We think very sanctified thoughts at that moment, right? Because they're stealing position. They're only thinking of themselves. But when that person lets you in, you're so grateful to them. You wave, you give a thumbs up, you're big smiles, right? I mean, you're so thankful. What a difference. Do you see the difference between the position stealers and the real servants? Can you tell when someone wants a position of respect but is not willing to do what is needed to gain it? You know, the pastor or deacon who wants that position but really isn't a man of God. Do you recognize the disguise of false teachers and preachers? Or are you duped by their deception? There are many that are. I mean, they have tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands that are following them. Do you understand that the false teachers and preachers can look like righteous people, but really are servants of Satan because they are just like him? Now, this is really what's going on. See, you know, Satan doesn't come looking like this. He comes looking like this. Does anyone know who that is? Prosperity gospel preacher, Joyce Meyer. Right? Telling you lies. And we need to recognize them for what they are. They often come dressed up, even holding a Bible maybe. We need to see through the lies that they are telling. The fake. There's a nice collage for you, some of the more current ones. Ones that, by their own words, show that they're not preaching the truth. They're telling lies and getting huge crowds to follow them. And most of the time, it's for your money. Or power or other things. Are you on guard against such deceptions as Ephesians 6 tells us we need to take a stand, putting on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. You take that stance against the wiles of the devil. You see through the self-righteousness because you know the real righteousness is found in Christ alone. Have you found that righteousness? Have you trusted in Him? And now you can take that bold stance against the wiles of the devil, because you know the truth and it has set you free. You realize the end of such people that are self-righteous? They'll be judged. Their end is destruction. Are you following position stealers or real servants? Many of you know I like Milwaukee Tools. And I learned early on that you had to be careful when buying Milwaukee batteries. This is a Milwaukee pretend battery. One of my friends found out the hard way of buying a Milwaukee, what he thought was a Milwaukee battery, and got it, and it did not have the same ability, and thankfully it didn't destroy his tool, but it was not up to snuff. So they look like this. They look close. But I've learned, you know, they say USA seller, 5-year warranty, I mean, all these claims. What we need to look for is the genuineness. Still in the package, look for the real deal. Learn to look for those little clues, the telltale signs that it is genuine versus the fake. What about you? Do you know how to tell the difference between true and false teachers? Can you distinguish between the polished speakers and the knowledge sharers, between the pay seekers and the truth tellers, the position sealers and the real servants. Can you tell the difference? And who will you follow? Father, we thank you for your word that tells us the truth that we need to hear. Help us to live in light, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.